Glory be to Jesus. Thank God for the word. Thank God for faith in Christ. Thank God for the gospel. Hallelujah. The gospel is God's answer to human depravity. The gospel is God's answer to the sin problem. The gospel is God's answer to religious confusion. The gospel is God's answer to darkness. The gospel is the light of God that is shining. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we've been studying metaphors for salvation, sanctification. Glory to God. This is Every Day with Jesus broadcast, episode 80. Metaphors for salvation. And then we are studying sanctification. And right now we are seeing how sanctification is a dedication, a consecration to a particular work or assignment. God has called us. He has set us apart to the work of ministry. The man that is sanctified is the man that has been called to do the work of ministry. Praise God. The man has been called and set apart to do the work of ministry. So you are not sanctified just for the sake of it. You are not just sanctified for the fun of it. You are sanctified and given an assignment. Praise God. Sanctification means there's a work to do. There's a work to be done. There's a task. There's an assignment that's been given to you. There is something you've been assigned unto. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God ordained before time that we should walk in them. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 8. Every believer is a recipient of God's Spirit. And look at what Jesus says concerning the receiving of the Spirit. Concerning the consequence or the effect of having the Spirit of God come upon you as an individual. Acts 1 verse 8. Bible says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So you shall receive power. The power you receive is to the end that you become witnesses. Praise God. You know, I said in one of these teachings how that a lot of times Christians lay hold on the promise without claiming the responsibility. Christians just want to enjoy the blessings and the privileges of the new life without laying hold on the responsibility. But the man Paul makes us realize that the reason, the secret to his progress in the faith, the secret to his ever increasing giant strides in the things of the Spirit was because he considered the things that were behind as past and he was pressing forward. Many times believers just want to, enjoy the blessing, the privileges without laying hold on the responsibility. Paul says, I'm pressing on to lay hold on that for which Jesus laid hold of me. That is the work, the ministry. Hallelujah. I'm pressing towards the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to fulfill my ministry. Paul is saying, I'm laying hold on the very reason why Jesus called me. Hallelujah. So it was beyond just laying hold on the blessings and the privileges, the inheritance that which Jesus gave us freely. It was also about laying hold on the responsibility that the blessedness of Christ Jesus confers upon us. Praise God. You see, every blessing we have received in Christ Jesus has conferred upon us a responsibility. Glory to Jesus. The reason why you are blessed with every spiritual blessing is so you can be a blessing to others. That's the reason. That's the essence. Hallelujah. It is not just to receive it and then be enjoying it and just be glad. No, it's so you can be a blessing to others. Hallelujah. The reason why you were given the power of God is because God wants you to come true for others. Amen. The reason why you have healing power is so you can heal the sick. There is no blessing you have received in Christ Jesus that won't serve as a basis for serving others. Your forgiveness. The forgiveness you have received, Bible says, to forgive others, even as God in Christ forgive you. So, the forgiveness we have received has become a basis for forgiving others. Hallelujah. So, we are not just to lay claim on the blessings, on the privileges, on the promises. We are to lay hold on the responsibility that these things have conferred upon us as believers. So, Jesus is saying that you shall receive power. When the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you'll be empowered. You'll be enabled. And then he says you become witnesses. And I established this fact yesterday that every believer has received the Spirit of God. Every believer has received the Spirit of God. Every believer has received the Spirit of God. Everyone that believes the gospel has received the Spirit of God. There's no such thing as a believer looking for the Holy Ghost, or a believer deficient of the Spirit, or a believer that is in need of the Spirit. Every believer has the Spirit. Hallelujah. On the day of Pentecost, Jesus gave them instruction before the day of Pentecost, tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. But on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came down, not just to the apostles, but the Holy Ghost came down upon the face of the earth, and everyone that believes receives the Holy Ghost from that day. You don't need to tarry. You don't need to wait. Hallelujah. Because the Holy Ghost has been given. Glory be to God. The Holy Ghost has been given. Jesus has poured out His Spirit. The Spirit of God has been sent to us, has been sent to the world. Hallelujah. So every man that believes, as a matter of fact, it is the Spirit of God that convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So the Holy Ghost is here. That's why the moment a sinner believes, he receives the gift of the Holy Spirit. He is sealed with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So you don't tarry for the Holy Ghost. You don't tarry. You don't wait. You don't say, now I'm saved, but I'm tarrying. I'm waiting for the Spirit to come upon me. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Even tongues that some refer to as baptism of the Spirit, tongues that some refer to as, you know, the actual giving of the Spirit or infilling of the Spirit. See, even tongues, it is not by tarrying. Hallelujah. I remember the first time I spoke in tongues, I just heard a teaching on it, where somebody explained and demystified everything that had to do with tongues, clearly explained from scriptures what it is, what it, you know, how it is done, and all that from the Bible. And I said, well, from today I'm going to start praying in tongues. And I gave thanks and I began to pray in tongues. Hallelujah. I didn't tarry, I didn't wait. I wasn't laboring, tarrying and waiting for God to pour the Holy Ghost on, you know, to send me the spirit of tongues. Hallelujah. You know, for some believers, there's a separate spirit of tongues and utterance. The Holy Ghost we receive as salvation is the same spirit that inspires the utterance of tongues. Hallelujah. So, there's no tarrying. Every believer has received the Spirit of God. If you're a Christian listening to this broadcast, you believed in the gospel, you believe in the facts of Jesus' death and resurrection, then you have the Spirit of God. I'll quote you Ephesians 1:13 again. Bible says, in Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The only thing that you did to qualify to have the Spirit of God was to believe in the gospel. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 4 verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba Father. Because you are sons, not because you tarried, not because you waited, not because you fasted, not because you prayed and labored and, you know, begged God and besought Him. No, because you are sons. Hallelujah. Because the Spirit of God is called the Spirit of adoption, is the Spirit of sonship. The Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of sonship, is the agency of our salvation. Hallelujah. It's the agency of the new birth. It's the one that orchestrated the new birth. Hence, we are described as men born of the Spirit. Men born of God. Hallelujah. So every believer has received the Spirit of God. And the essence of this is that you have been marked out from the world, and you have become a child of God, and that translates into being a witness of the things you have received. Hallelujah. I mean, a witness simply means somebody who tells others that which he has seen. You bear witness, you bear testimony or record to what you are partaking of. Hallelujah. You know, John at 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled, concerning the word of life, the life was manifested to us, and we have seen, was manifested, and we have seen, and bear witness. That is, that which we have seen. Hallelujah. We are bearing record to what we have seen. Glory to God. Now, the apostles were referred to as eyewitnesses. We are not eyewitnesses, but we are witnesses. Praise God. We are witnesses because we have also partaken of the fruit of Jesus' redemption. The fruit of His redemption is the giving of the Spirit. And that is our sanctification. It is by the Spirit we are set apart, called out of the world. So the man that has received that fruit of his work has become a witness. Praise God. You know, someone says they are sharing money in that particular building, they're sharing money in that particular organization, then you go there and then you collect the money. Praise God. You collect the money. You have become a witness of what is happening there because you partook of the gift. Do you get the point? It's a very simple illustration that for being a beneficiary of their benevolence, you can testify to the fact that, see, these guys actually give money. these guys actually have what it takes to, you know, empower you, to give you money, to, you know, sponsor you or anything, or to promote you. So the same way, because I have received the Spirit of God, I can tell others that God is indeed good and God is saving the world. I can tell others to come and receive that which I've received. It's so simple. So the issue of being a witness is not complicated at all. It's so simple. It's so basic. Tell others what you have received. Tell others about what you have received. Tell others the way to receive what you have received. Glory to Jesus, because you have received it. Every man that has become a recipient of the gift of eternal life can tell others how to obtain the same. Praise God. If you find a Christian who cannot share the gospel, you must go beyond the symptoms of not being able to share the gospel to the root. Then there's a problem deeper than the symptom. Most likely, he himself has not believed the gospel. Praise God. Most likely, he's yet to understand the message, because when you know the message, you're able to tell others. When you know how you received eternal life, how you were saved, you are able to tell others how to be saved. But if you don't know how you got saved, if you are saved at all, then you can't tell others. Praise God. Amazingly, can you be saved without knowing how you got saved? It's impossible. Praise God. And that's what Paul was saying at 1 Corinthians 15. Let's see this quickly. It's impossible to be saved without knowing how you got saved. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 1. Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand." Verse 2, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Hallelujah. Now, Paul is saying the only reason why you guys are saved is if you hold fast to what I said to you, unless you believed in vain. To believe in vain means to believe in something else. Hallelujah. And the reason why Paul is saying this is because at this point in time, there were folks in the church that believed that there was no resurrection. So Paul is wondering, what exactly did these guys hear from me? Are you sure you know what the gospel is? So he says, I'm declaring it to you all over again in case you missed it. Hallelujah. Because a man cannot be saved by anything else without hearing the gospel. You can't just be saved. There's a specific procedure for salvation. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10, there's a specific procedure. You can't be saved accidentally. You can't say, I just got saved along the line. No, you must have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. You must have believed. There must be a preacher that communicated to you the facts and figures of the gospel accurately. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without the preacher? Have you seen? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? How shall they believe if they have not heard? They must have heard something. And not just anything. Verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. The word of God in this context is strictly the gospel. Not just any portion of scripture. Hallelujah. Someone tells you the story of Adam and Eve. You are not saved. Someone tells you the story of David, how David was playing the harp for Saul. And any time David was playing the harp for Saul. And every time the evil spirit will leave, and then he's showing you the power of praise. That will not save you. Hallelujah. That will not get you saved. Or the story of Goliath and David. How that the 5 stones represent the name of Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. And then eventually use just 1 stone, right? He just used J. The letter J alone is powerful. That will not save you. Praise God. Not any kind of sermon, specifically the message that saves, the message that bears faith, is the gospel. Hallelujah. And if you read Romans 10 very well, you discover that that's the context. It was talking about the gospel, the message of Christ's death and resurrection. Glory be to God. So a man cannot be saved accidentally. He must have heard the report. Praise God. He must have heard the report. So like I was saying, the man that is truly saved, the man that hears the gospel and believes, is able to tell others because he knows what he heard. He knows what got him saved. Hallelujah. He knows what got him saved. So back to Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall become witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So the man that has the Spirit of God becomes a witness. He becomes a minister of the same. He can tell others what got him saved. Glory be to God. That's the design of God. Hallelujah. So every believer is a minister of the gospel. Hallelujah. And there's no excuse. You can't say, I'm not talented, I'm not gifted. It is not something you are talented to do. It is not something, it's not a natural skill. It is something you develop. Hallelujah. See, we nurture ministry. We nurture ourselves in ministry. We grow into ministry. We develop. We become more effective, more mature in dispensing our ministry. Hallelujah. It is something you are trained and equipped to do. You have received the ministry. Now you must be trained for the work of ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, look at this. Ephesians chapter 4, you must be trained for the work of ministry. Many believers that run from the work of ministry, that run from preaching the gospel, and they excuse it or sometimes rationalize it, and they say, well, my own career is my calling. That's why I preach the gospel. Are you preaching the gospel? You should. I'm a makeup artist. I just design people's faces as I design it. They see the glory of God. That's my own preaching. You're not serious. You're not serious. Hallelujah. You're not serious. You know you are not saying the truth. You know, deep down within you, you know it's not the truth. But the reason why a lot of people come up with such excuses, apart from the fact that they are pastors or ministers that follow this kind of mindset, the reason why a lot of people dodge this work of ministry is because they are feeling inadequate. Hallelujah. There's a feeling of inadequacy. There's a feeling of not being able, not being up to the task. Hallelujah. But that's the essence of training. You see, after you are trained, you become skilled. Praise God. You see, nobody goes to the university aspiring to be a doctor, aspiring to be an engineer, and then just gambles his way through school and then comes out to start experimenting, trying to be lucky at being a good engineer or a good doctor. You go to school to be trained, to be taught, to be equipped. Hallelujah. Doctors spend a lot of years in the school and then they still have housemanship. They have, you know, they go to teaching hospitals to have teaching practice and all that. You know, a lot of work is put into the training so that if you go through it as you ought to, you come out as an effective doctor. You come out as a trained professional doctor. Hallelujah. And then you are so confident. When you stand before your patients, you are so confident of your training, you attend to them without any fear or any panic. Hallelujah. There's no fear of maybe I'll give them the wrong prescription because you've paid your dues. You've been well trained. Such that in ministry also, there's such a thing as being trained. Hallelujah. There's such a thing as being trained. Ephesians chapter 4, and that's the essence of the church. That's the essence of, that's the essence of having a ministry gift over your life to equip you and to train you for the work of ministry. If you submit to a pastor after a few months and some years, you should have grown to become better as a preacher of the gospel. Very sad scenario today, sad reality today is that the folks who are meant to be equipping men for the work of ministry are the people discouraging people from aspiring to be preachers of the gospel. They would rather tell them that they are careers. We all have different calling. You know, I was in a meeting one day. Somebody said, you know, for some, playing football is their calling. For some, it's music. For some, and all manner of reckless statements. I'm wondering, Jesus was a carpenter. Paul was a tent maker. Luke was a physician. All these guys had their secular jobs that they were doing. Jesus was submitting to his father and they were working together as, in the carpentry business before he eventually focused on ministry. Praise God. Yet, none of them referred to their secular endeavors as the ministry, as their calling. Praise God. Your calling cannot be what your unbelieving friends also do. Your calling cannot be something you have to go to the university to, you know, go through rigorous training, be taught by different lecturers. Some of them were even atheists. And then you came out, you went to serve NYS. See, your calling cannot be that. Hallelujah. Those who equipped you to become a career person were not necessarily Christians. Hallelujah. Those who equipped you to be a career person did not teach you the Bible to become a doctor or an engineer or a banker, a lawyer, an insurance person, a marketer. They didn't teach you God's word because what it takes to excel in those things is not spiritual wisdom. It's earthly wisdom. Hallelujah. Earthly wisdom. Glory to Jesus. So your calling cannot be your secular career. The calling we have in Christ Jesus is referred to as a high calling. A higher calling. It is not something found in the world. It is found only in Christ Jesus. And it is the ministry we have received of the Lord. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Have you seen that the reason why we have the ministry gifts is for equipping us for the work of ministry, for training us to become sound and effective ministers of the gospel. There's a model that is in the church today that is anti-Christ, that is anti-scriptures, that is faulty and ungodly, where the man of God is celebrated as the only minister in the church. And then some of the people he ordains Praise God. You see, we think that those who have titles are the only ministers in the body of Christ. But according to scriptures, every member of the body of Christ is a minister of the gospel. Hallelujah. And then we come to church not to watch the ministers. We come to church to be trained to become effective ministers that we are. Hallelujah. We become trained. We come to church not to spectate, not to watch, be clapping and, you know, applauding men for doing ministry. And then just be saying, the grace upon our Father. Anointing poor. Anointing, oh, deep. You know, these people just stand in awe of the man, stand in awe of the man. Jesus says, he that believes in me, the very works that I do shall he do also. Not the bishop, not the reverend alone, not the evangelist alone. He who believes. So we don't come to church to spectate and to watch. We come to church to be trained for the work of ministry. If you attend church and you do not feel the pangs and the disciplines and the burdens of being a student, you are attending the wrong place. Hallelujah. If you attend church and you do not, every time you attend church, you don't feel the burden of a student of the word, discipleship, you are in the wrong place. Hallelujah. Because the essence of the New Testament faith, the essence of the New Testament church is that men are equipped for the work of ministry. Men are referred to as disciples. You know, that's what Jesus says we should go into the world to make. That's what he commissioned his apostles to go into the world and make of men. Go into the world and make disciples of all nations. The word disciple is the word that means a scholar, a student. Hallelujah. A learner, a pupil. Bible says go into the world and teach all the nations. That phrase, teach all the nations, actually means to enroll people as scholars, to enroll them. So it's a serious business. Hallelujah. All this SMS approach to ministry will not get the job done. It won't cut it. Hallelujah. Go to church. Before you blink your eye, you're out of church. It's not going to get the job done. It's about a serious business. When we sit down to be taught the word of God, we meditate on scriptures together, we reason out scriptures together, we ask questions and answers, you know, are supplied. And then we are learning and learning and working through scriptures. We are learning God's word, you know, so that there are no gray areas, so that we can defend our faith in the world. So we can share our faith with so much confidence in the world. There are many believers who can't answer Bible questions in the world. They dodge it. They don't know what to say. An unbeliever throws a question at you, you just dodge it. You say, our God, he doesn't argue. Praise God. Some folks even say, our God is unquestionable. Well, see, Jesus answered questions. Who told you being unquestionable means you can't ask questions? Unquestionable means it can't be faulted. And that's the reason why we answer questions, because we are able to provide answers with so much clarity that you can't fault our faith, you can't fault the work of Jesus, you can't fault the basis of the New Testament faith. Glory be to God. All this come in the place of being equipped. This dexterity, this ability to answer questions and to be able to present the word of God without ambiguities and, you know, shrouded mysticism comes in the place of training and being equipped and being taught the word of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So he says, they are given for equipping the saints for the work of ministry, because the work of ministry is what we have been set apart unto in our sanctification. Look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to 8. I'm going to close here for today. We'll continue tomorrow. And then we're going to be bringing this study on sanctification to a close very soon, so we can move on to another metaphor for salvation. Praise God. Romans in chapter 12. See how Paul immediately begins to talk about ministry. The moment he says we should give ourselves to God, he begins to talk about the work of ministry, because the work of ministry is the essence of our sanctification. Romans chapter 12 from verse 1, Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. You don't become a living sacrifice, you're already a living sacrifice. Present yourself as such. Acknowledge this fact. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, how that your body and your spirit belongs to God. You've been bought with a price. So you're not the one to become a living sacrifice. You've been offered to God as a living sacrifice. You must now present yourself as such. You must acknowledge this reality. Glory to Jesus. He says, this is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Look at verse 3. Immediately he spoke about giving ourselves, acknowledging the fact that we are living sacrifices and presenting ourselves as such, immediately begins to discuss ministry. Because the essence of the sanctification is the work of ministry. That is what we are dedicated to. If we are not conformed to the world, and we are not, you know, rolling with the world and lost in the world, and we are set apart from the world, it is so we can do the work of God. And that's why every believer that is not finding time to do the work of God is already conformed to the world. He's already living as a man that has no ministry, that has no identity separate from the world, that has no assignment to save the world. Hallelujah. He's lost in the world. Praise God. He's lost in the world. So he begins to discuss ministry. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. It will teach us in teaching, it will exhort in exhortation. He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Hallelujah. He begins to discuss ministry because in presenting ourselves as living sacrifices, we are presenting ourselves to serve God. That's why he says this is your reasonable service. We are presenting ourselves to ministry. Hallelujah. We are presenting ourselves to minister to God and for God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. I'm going to explain this very well in details tomorrow. Do good to not miss out on tomorrow's broadcast. I'm going to explain Romans 12. Okay, what does Paul mean by all of us having different gifts? Does it mean that I have the gift of prophecy and you have the gift of ministry and some have the gift of teaching and some have the gift of exhorting and some have the gift of liberality and all that? You know, I've shown you this yesterday, how that the old church was involved in preaching the gospel of Christ. So whatever this portion of the Bible means, it does not exclude any believer from preaching the gospel. You don't say some are gifted to preach. Some of us are only gifted to, you know, watch out for their souls, to pray for them and to intercede for them. Every believer has the ability to preach and can be trained to become an effective preacher of the gospel. Glory be to God. So I'm going to explain this in details tomorrow. Do your best to tune in. Don't forget to tune in. 7 a.m. Invite your friends, relatives, family members, colleagues, classmates, school, anybody at all, and let's just come together to have a great time in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Now I want to say a word of prayer for you if you are listening to this broadcast and you are sick in your body. I want to say a word of prayer for you in the name of Jesus. I want to pray for you. Whatever the situation is, whatever the case is, whatever diagnosis you've received, whatever the names they've given to it, names are given to ailments by doctors. Sometimes those names scare people, but then I want to pray for you. There's a name above all names. Hallelujah. I want to pray for you in the name of Jesus, and you recover from every infirmity today. I believe God. So put your hand on that portion, on that part of your body. In the name of Jesus, I command and banish this ailment from your body. In the name of Jesus, it will not resurface. It will not come back. In the name of Jesus, the power of the Holy Ghost overshadows you now. I command healing power to fall upon your body. In the name of Jesus Christ, strength comes upon you now. Every weakness is swallowed up by the power of the Holy Ghost. From the top of your head and to the tip and sole of your feet. In the name of Jesus. Healing is yours. Healing is yours. Healing is yours now in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank God for healing power. Thank God for healing power. You are healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Holy Ghost, full of prayer, spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.